The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Most of us know that phrase, and hopefully you understand that concept, because it's a very important one in the Bible. But I wonder how many of us may know where you can find it. It's really in a book that sometimes we don't study as much as we ought to. It's an interesting book when you study the book of Ezekiel. If you want to go ahead and turn there, that's where we're going to spend this evening. Ezekiel chapter 18. One of the great lessons I learned at school was that I knew nothing about Ezekiel. Now, if I want to be honest with you, and many of you might be in the same boat as I was, but I got a very good deep study of it. One of the things that really stood out to us in class was how God showed in the book of Ezekiel a new idea. Hopefully it'll come out as I explain it. In the other books of the Old Testament, God grouped all of Israel together. When Israel sinned, it was the entire nation. And that's how he viewed it. If Israel was sinning, and again, he looked at it as a national thing. When you get to the book of Ezekiel, sin is an individual thing. And I think sometimes we put ourselves in that as well. We'll look at the nation that we're in and we'll say, look at the sin that's around us. But we miss that God views sin individually. He always has, even though he most of the time in the Old Testament looked at it as a national thing. Each person was responsible for their own sins. Each person was responsible for their own actions. And Ezekiel is going to bring that out. We have a nation of the people of Israel who are being led into captivity. And their thoughts are, well, the nation sinned as a whole, but I'm okay. We haven't gone to captivity yet. We're not there yet, so we must be the lucky few who aren't in sin. Ezekiel's message is, you're no better than the other ones. Just because you're not in captivity yet does not mean you won't be here in just a few years. So if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, I want us to think of these concepts. Many of us, when we think of our sin, we think of the blame game. Have you ever heard that thought? We think of all the other people who led us astray along the way. You may have heard the excuse, my parents made me this way. You know, this is how I was raised. This is what I know. Is that an excuse that's going to stand for sin? Other people might say, well, my friends were a bad influence. Certainly, people have bad influences by the friends that they choose. But are you going to be able to blame your friends when you stand before God? And I hope Ezekiel's going to give you the answer tonight. The answer is no. You can't blame your friends. They certainly may have had an influence, but you are responsible for your own sins. My favorite, and we kind of studied this last Sunday morning, the devil made me do it. Have you ever heard that excuse before? It's so sad that people grab to anything to keep themselves from being responsible for their own actions. Ezekiel's message needs to be heard today. Wake up and realize you are guilty of what you've done in your own life. And I want us to look at this this evening. The soul that sins shall die. There's a lot of concepts in just one verse that I just want to briefly look over this evening. We'll look at Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. It reads, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. He starts off the first little phrase, the soul that sins shall die. The individual is going to be judged individually. You cannot rely on other people. You can't blame someone else when you stand before God. Each soul that sins will be judged accordingly. If it sins, it will die. And when you take a look at what's being said in Ezekiel 18, let's look at verses 1 and 4. And you're going to see why God brings this out. What Israel was saying at this time was, well, and we'll read it, and I'll explain it as we go. Ezekiel 18, verses 1 and 4. This was a common saying in Israel, and God was tired of hearing it. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Explaining the proverb, what they thought was the father had eaten sour grapes. The father had sinned, and now the son has to suffer for it. That was a common saying. In fact, when you look at the New Testament, that's what they thought too. When Jesus stands with, and there's the blind man in John chapter 9, his disciples say, did this man sin, or did his parents sin? This is a common thought, and many Christians fall in the same category. We see people suffering and we say, well, their parents must have been great sinners. Well, they must have done something seriously wrong. This is the way Israel thought, and God said, we're not going to use that saying anymore. Notice verse 4, behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. This is a really important thing to understand. God says it twice in one chapter. He wants you to grasp it. Every person is individually responsible for what they do. You can't blame someone else. You can't put someone else on the chopping block. And in fact, the Father is mentioned over and over again in this chapter. And that feeds into our next point. There will be no drag downs or free rides when it comes to God. You cannot blame someone else and say they dragged you down. You can't look at your father and say he was a sinner. That's the reason I'm lost. That's the reason I'm not saved. And then the vice versa, on the other side of the coin, you can't say, well, my father was very righteous, therefore I should be in a good relationship with God. Each person has to look at themselves. Each person needs to realize that they have a special relationship with God. They must make sure they're right. Notice the second part. The Son shall not bear the guilt of the Father, nor the Father bear the guilt of the Son. I really want to take this thought. I mean, my dad's a preacher, but most may not have a father as a preacher. So think of this. What if you bore the guilt of your father or your mother? You know, God, I think in His wisdom, could tell, obviously, we have enough to worry about in this life, just thinking about ourselves, worrying about our own actions, our own selves and sin. Certainly, we cannot have other people weighing us down. And that's what God's getting at. You can't look at someone and say, well, he's the reason I'm in this situation. He's the reason why God has decided to turn his back on me. It doesn't work like that. On the other side of the coin, we mentioned, God's not going to save you just because your father was a righteous person. God's not going to save you just because your mother went to church every Sunday and was faithful to God. Each soul is going to be judged in front of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. Are you ready for that? Or are you trying to ride someone's coattail into heaven? You know, I mentioned my dad had done a lesson on this recently. He made this point. God doesn't have grandchildren. He has only children. John 1, verse 12 says Jesus came to this world to make children of God. You can't ride someone else's coattail to heaven. Are you in a right relationship today? Or are you trying to ride someone else into heaven? It doesn't work like that. The last point that's very important we grasp as well. The righteous and the wicked are so on their own accord. Look at the end of verse 20. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Each of us have got to see how we're living, right? That's what he's getting at. That's God's message. Look at your own life and see if you're living according as you should by the Scriptures. You know, the righteous, those who are in righteousness will know if they're living righteously. Those who are wicked, if they study this book, they'll know if they're living a wicked life. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see righteousness or do you see wickedness? And just to show that this isn't just a new idea in Ezekiel, that this was always God's plan. God always worried about the individual person. Look at Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah is written about 100 years, maybe even longer, before Ezekiel. But I want you to see it in Isaiah 3, verses 10 and 11. Is this not the same exact thought? God has always seen those that are living wicked as being wicked people. Those who are living in righteousness are righteous. It's not hard to understand. Verses 10 and 11 of Isaiah 3. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. They're going to be rewarded for their righteousness. Verse 11, woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. Those who are righteous are going to be rewarded. Those who are wicked are going to be repaid for their wickedness. Does that not sound like the New Testament? Is that not exactly what God tells us today? The wicked will be repaid for their wickedness. The righteous will receive a reward greater than anything this world offers. Here's the great thing about Ezekiel. Now, you study the Old Testament, they didn't necessarily know that Christ was coming. We know that he has come and that he has died on the cross. You realize that each person has sinned. Each person deserves death, but God made a way that you can be saved. And only that salvation comes through Christ. There is no other plan. There is no other way. This evening, if you're in sin, you know that your punishment that you deserve is death. There is no other punishment or reward for you. In sin, there's only death. But in Christ, there is freedom, there is salvation, there is hope. You know, this evening, if you've never heard the gospel, you've never believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've never repented of the way you used to live your life, you're still in sin, make those changes tonight. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38 makes it very clear, repentance and baptism are needed for salvation. That's the way Christ wants you to be saved. It might be the case this evening that you once were in a right relationship with God. You had been taken out of your sins by Christ, but for whatever reason, you decided to go back. You realize that death is waiting for you. You know, only through Christ and repentance can you be restored back into His kingdom. If anyone has any needs this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Leave every care and worldly strife. Come feast upon the love of God and drink everlasting life. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will.
You're now dismissed.